You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller. And as we've been working our way through a study of the third book of the Psalms in our Summer Psalms series, we are really excited to be joined today by Dane Ortlund, who is an editor on a really great devotional on the Psalms. It comes from the publishers of the ESV, Crossway. It's the devotional Psalter, and it's packed full, obviously, of all of the Psalms, but also some really great thoughts on how to understand the great history and the depth of these Psalms. So it's a great privilege to have Dane with us. Dane, thank you so much for being a part of the many voices for that one message.
Glad to do it, Adam. Thank you.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about what drew you to the Psalms to begin with? I mean, the Psalms, for myself and for many of our listeners, are the heart of the Bible. They contain so much of the richness of history, prayers, passion, and the gospel. So what is it that drew you to the Psalms?
Well, you're right. They really are the heart of the Bible. And there's really nothing in the Bible like the Psalms, because it's the one part of the Bible where, I mean, all, the whole Bible is God's word, God speaking to us. But there's this one big book right in the middle where it is also giving us words to speak to God. And it's almost like God is saying, here's how I want you to talk to me. And so we have this book of prayers, and it covers the whole range of human experience, physically and spiritually, shame and guilt, the highs and the lows of life. So the Psalms are uniquely positioned to give voice to every emotion and every feeling and every experience that we walk through in this fallen world.
It's interesting because we've actually been working our way through the third book of the Psalms in our study this year, and there's not a lot of bright lights in the third book of the Psalms. It has a lot of really heavy laments, but in reality, the Psalms are about half lament and half praise, aren't they? I mean, there is a lot of emotional range in the Psalms to that degree.
That was what you just said, Adam, is one of the things that really struck me in working on this project. It struck me in a way that it never had before, that the Psalms, more than anything else, are laments. And that's so striking because that's not really how we tend to structure many of our church services today. I don't tend to walk through life with much of a robust and deep category of lament, even though I have causes for lament in my life. And it's very striking and sobering and realistic and hopeful to read through the Psalms, and especially as you say, as you and your listening audience have been going through book three, to see that God, it's almost like he views pain as to be expected in all of life in some form, rather than just being part of life. It's not as if we go through little pockets of our lives and then we need laments. There's always something in my life that a psalm of lament touches. And so God knows, and it's a way that he cares for us by giving those to us.
I think that's one of the things you said there is you didn't realize it before. I think it's so easy to miss that when we piecemeal the Psalms, then go to the ones that we like and pick this one out and pick that one out. And we kind of fail to see when we were going through and studying them in a larger chunk, we start to realize that there's Psalms in between our favorites that really deal with some deeper emotions.
That's right. If we read straight through the Psalms, we are not being driven by whatever we are feeling that day. Rather, we are being driven by the structure of the Psalter, and we're being carried along. We're being forced to shape our heart after God and to sort of be given our humanity back, become human again, by the Psalms not leaving us in any one particular place too long, as you were just saying, Adam. The Psalter explores every nook and cranny of our hearts and matures us into godliness in that way.
When you set out on this journey to begin with in writing a devotional on the Psalms, that's a pretty big task. How long did you spend in the preparation, in the process of really just understanding what kind of a mountain you were climbing?
Well, I think there are two answers to that. One is I'm 38 years old, and so I spent about 38 years of life in a fallen world preparing for it. The other answer is I've just always loved studying and reading the Psalms in recent years. And when it came time to sit down and methodically work through the Psalms and try to say something helpful, meaningful, and true, but brief about each one, and not just going to my favorites, but each one, I felt prepared for it, and I enjoyed it. I felt like I had the right lens in place to read the Psalms the way the New Testament, the way Jesus himself trains us to read the Psalms. And so it was actually a lot of fun, and took about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months to sit down and do a psalm or two each morning. And it was a labor, but it was really, really enjoyable.
I think a lot of times what we are kind of missing in the Psalms is a little more backstory, because a lot of them are coming out of the rich history of Israel and the history of the Old Testament, which is a little bit removed. I mean, we know some of the big highlight stories of Noah's Ark and David and Goliath and all these things, but a lot of the Psalms that came out of many of those in between periods, we don't really have the history to that. Did you find that was really helpful to put into this devotional to give people a little more insight into what they were reading?
I did a little bit of that, Adam, but only a very little bit. Really, something like the ESV Study Bible, which has study notes on each psalm, would be more effective for the purpose of understanding more of the historical background. You know, why is this mountain named in this psalm? What are these pools here talking about, or these pillars, this group of people? So I felt like what I wanted to do was, in a couple of paragraphs, penetrate to the heart of what this psalm is saying to the people of God and explain very briefly and crisply any historical background as needed to make that point. But I mean, you could write a dissertation on any one psalm.
Yeah.
And one of my concerns, Adam, is I didn't want to write so too much on any given psalm such that it detracted from the scripture itself. We wanted to make prominent the scripture and then have just a couple of paragraphs bridging that psalm into the heart of the 21st century reader. And so there's a tension there. How much do you explain and how much do you not? And but this project was specifically trying to build that bridge between the text and the heart and only explain backgrounds matters as needed to do that.
And I think in that same vein, in that context, the Psalms are about worship. They are about devotion. So you're capturing the heart of that is really what is so important that we have as a takeaway of these Psalms, that they lead us in some way to worship. That is ultimately what we're talking about when we're discussing the prayer book of the Bible, isn't it?
Certainly, yes. I mean, the Psalms are not meant to be taken and put on a petri dish and analyzed in a sterile room under a microscope by someone with a white lab coat on. They're meant to be eaten with the soul, not the stomach. They're meant to be to nourish us, to be enjoyed, to tank us up for a day. They're meant to be read devotionally. When we say ESV devotional psalter, I want to make this real clear. You were just getting at it, brother. What we don't mean is that the Psalms should be read in all these different ways, and one of those is devotional, so let's do a psalter in accord with that particular reading strategy. If you're not reading the Psalms, the whole scripture, devotionally, which I just take to mean reverently before God so that it actually changes your life, engages your heart, then you're missing the whole point of reading the Bible, reading the Psalms in the first place. So we're just trying to help ordinary Christians like us read the Psalms the way God gave us to read them, the way they're meant to be read, as you say, devotionally as worship.
When we come to the Psalms, when I come to the Psalms, it's always kind of penetrating in many different ways. And it keeps me coming back because there's always something fresh and there's always something new. For covering a book like, you know, when you get to the Psalms, like Psalm 23, which is so common, how do you even write a devotional for something that is so familiar to even people outside of the church?
Well, you're right. There can be a barrier, can't there, in that for some people, the language of a psalm like Psalm 23 is so deeply buried in their consciousness that it's almost like they're inoculated to it and they can't hear what the psalm is saying afresh. And so how do we get past that? Well, we can just do our best to try to use fresh, vivid language to arrest people with the unspeakably consoling truths of a psalm like Psalm 23. I mean, that psalm gets way down underneath the darkest pains and shames and disappointments and frustrations of life. And so we just do our best and leave it with the Lord and hope it blesses people.
Mm. As you said, you spent your entire life being a student of the Psalms. I'd be curious to hear your testimony and how the Psalms became such a vital part of your development.
Well, in short, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and because I'm still a sinner, still saved by grace, I love the Psalms because the Psalms are for sinners. I mean, I grew up in a believing family. My dad's a wonderful, both my parents, wonderful Christian, godly people who raised me to love the Scripture. I wound up going off to a Christian college and got some theology degrees, Bible degrees, and enjoyed study, yes, at a more academic level, but also, but even more deeply, I've always wanted to study the Bible for the sake of devotional reading and heart change and ministry. And the Psalms have just always been, I'm sure any seasoned saint would attest to this, wouldn't they, Adam? The Psalms are unique in the Scripture in the way that they give voice to whatever I'm going through. They aren't overly, kind of super spiritual and spiritualize things away and make you feel guilty for feeling frustrated at God or deeply disappointed in a friend or very, very deeply guilty or ashamed. The Psalms simply say, yes, this is life. Take it to God. Here's some language to do it with. And the Psalms have always been that for me. I would also say I went on to study the New Testament, and the New Testament plunders the Psalms pervasively. And Jesus himself quotes the Psalms all over the place. And it's really exciting to study the Bible and see how the apostles pick up the Psalms and show Jesus as the fulfillment of those Psalms. That's a whole nother layer that's really exciting to see in the Bible.
Yeah, there's a lot of context. I mean, we talked a little bit about the history in the Old Testament that feeds the Psalms on one end, but there's also a lot that, as Christians with the perspective of Christ, we can actually see Christ coming to life through the book of the Psalms, can't we?
Absolutely. I mean, I would say Jesus Christ is the embodiment and fulfillment of every one of the 150 Psalms. If it's a psalm in which someone is confessing guilt, for the believer, Jesus is one who bore that guilt. If it's a psalm of lament, Jesus filled out, he recapitulated, he filled up that lament to the fullest in his life and on the cross. He's the, Jesus himself said at the very end of Luke that, hey, you disciples, this is what I was saying to you in my earthly ministry, that everything written about me, and then he said, in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, meaning the five books of poetry, but clearly seeing the Psalms as the anchor of those five books, must be fulfilled. So by Jesus's own testimony, all the Psalms find their climax, their culmination. They're all clinched. They all find their truest and deepest meaning in Jesus Christ. And so it's a thrill to read the Psalms on this side of Christ's first coming and ponder the significance of that.
Hmm. Now, the Psalm is the book of the devotional Psalter is not just the context of the Psalms, written in a beautiful format, by the way, very well done design and printing of it that's easy on the eyes, but it also includes your notes, often very brief. But why is it, what would you say to our average listener on why they should pick a copy of this as opposed to just using their own Bible? What's so special about sitting down with just the Psalms in your hand and with a little bit of devotional?
Well, the first thing to say, Adam, is we at Crossway are perfectly happy if any of your listeners are sitting down with the Bible alone, and we would not deter them from that in the least. If they felt that sometimes when they read the Psalms, they find the Psalms a little bit distant to them, perhaps, or they find themselves just being unable to connect with it, maybe they say, you know, sometimes I read the Psalms, and at least some of them, I just can't really get much traction in my heart with them. Maybe I read Ephesians and something happens, or I read the Gospels, but the Psalms? And so this Psalter, again, the purpose is to try to build on-ramps from the human heart to the Word of God in the Psalms. It's not, these devotionals are not meant to replace the text of Scripture. You'll get nothing out of this project if you only read the devotionals. You have to read the Psalm and then read the devotional and say, oh, okay, this is helping me to see how this Psalm engages my life and heart. And then just about every one of the devotionals has something in it to connect the Psalm to Jesus and show, pick up some theme in that particular Psalm and show how it is fulfilled or culminates in Jesus. And so that's who this devotional project is for.
Mm. You said that when you were writing this, you took about two Psalms a day to study, and you just worked on those and did some writing. What kind of advice, especially for many of our listeners who are very busy, maybe they're listening to this broadcast on the way to work, and this is the most they're going to be able to get in their day as far as spiritual encouragement. What advice would you have for them about how to read the Psalms and make it a steady diet in their life?
I would say that's not good enough. If the extent of their time with God, unhurried one-on-one time with the Lord, is a couple of minutes in a car listening to something, I don't know how they would ever expect to move forward in the Christian life. Because what the Psalms require, what Scripture reading, but especially the Psalms require, is sitting with it. It's not like wolfing down a meal. It's like sucking on hard candy. Mm. You have to sit with it, move it around in your mouth, so to speak. You can't hurry it. You know, a cough drop doesn't help you if you stick it in your mouth and then immediately just crunch away at it, bite it up, and swallow it down. You have to suck on it and let the juices flow. And that's what so the answer is, get up earlier. Now, there's nothing legalistic here. There's no quick formula that someone can write out on a 3x5 card to say, if you have this many minutes time with the Lord, then you're growing and it's good. And if you have this many minutes, then you're not. No, each reader needs to find his or her own time and rhythm. Maybe it's morning, maybe it's evening, but we need time out of the storm to sit with God and in an unhurried way. The only unhurried time probably in our hurried lives to sit with him, and maybe that means 10 minutes at first. It doesn't have to be an hour. Maybe reading the Bible for someone who's just trying to reinvigorate this discipline, maybe it means one verse a day. But one verse a day ingested in an unhurried way is far better than hurrying through two chapters and getting nothing out of it.
That's great advice, and we always want our ministry, our program, to really just be a supplement to give people an appetite for the Word of God. And our conversation, I hope that our conversation has inspired people to want to read these Psalms and to read this devotional, to spend the time that is so necessary, to spend the time in God's Word, to allow the Spirit of God to work in our hearts and our lives, and to
That's
be
right.
renewed in the spirit of our mind.
Yes, that's right, Adam.
Tell me a little bit more, though, in the context of your preparation for this and your putting these all together. The Psalms, especially when you get to like Psalm 119, there's a lot of repetition. There's a lot of length, obviously, with Psalm 119. How do you break it down in a way that is comprehensive and yet helpful in getting the full picture of a psalm?
That's a good question. And Psalm 119, of course, is distinctive in that way. There are not other psalms quite like that one. And I think it's perfectly fine just to take one letter at a time. You know, the psalm is broken down as an acrostic. So the first eight verses all start with the Hebrew letter Aleph, the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. The next eight verses with Beit, the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and so on. So maybe you take those eight Aleph verses and treat that as an independent psalm, and then you go to the next one. Oh, it would also be wonderful to read through the whole psalm, but I don't think someone needs to feel constrained to say, well, this is just one psalm, therefore I have to treat it like all the psalms in the 120s right after it, which are extremely short comparatively. So again, we can't put any kind of constraint on people, a kind of a bridle, to say, here is how you need to read the Psalms. Every believer needs to figure out, nestle into his or her own way of taking the Psalms way down deep into their soul. And when you get to Psalm 119, don't be burdened by feeling you have to do it a certain way. Take it as it comes and do what you can.
One of the things that I've run into this quite a bit in people that I've been trying to help in their study of the Psalms, or when I've been preaching from the Psalms, is they'll often share with me that they have a hard time seeing the significance of Christ in the Psalms, because a lot of them are lament and a lot of them are dealing with deep emotions. They may not be able to see it very distinctly, but your devotional does pull those details in a great way. But what advice do you have for readers of the Psalm to see the significance of how Christ is the fulfillment of them?
That's a great question, Adam. It's a massive question that requires its own month's worth of interview. But just to scratch the surface here, a couple of thoughts come to mind. Number one, remember that Jesus was, we say, fully human. That's Orthodox Christology, fully human. Now, if he was fully human, Hebrews says he was as fully human as we are, even down to every temptation. The only thing is he didn't sin. If that is true, then this incredible rainbow of different human experiences, highs and lows that we see in the Psalms, Jesus knew firsthand each of them. So we can look at those Psalms and the emotions that are expressed and that are wrestled over, and we can know that our Savior walked through that and, in a sense, conquered it or sanctified it, or he walked through it, and we are united to him, and he is going to graciously and gently pull us through as well, and it's going to be okay. Thought number two is, get a great book by someone like Graham Goldsworthy or Sidney Gradonis or Brian Chappell or Tim Keller, or one of these guys who helps us see how Jesus is the point of the whole Bible, including the Psalms. There's a lot of good teaching out there, good writing on Christ-centered hermeneutics is the technical word we use for the science of interpretation. Christocentric, Christ-centered hermeneutics. Biblical theology is another phrase we use to speak of the way we read the Bible in such a way that puts the whole thing together in a unified way. And so there's lots of, we're in a renaissance of evangelical scholarship helping us to read the Bible in this way. So Graham Goldsworthy, According to Plan, would be a good basic 101 book to introduce you to this way of reading the Bible, reading the Psalms.
Mm. Or they could also just pick up a copy of the ESV devotional Psalter, because you certainly do a great job with that as well. And I want to thank you so much for not only this book that has become my daily devotional for the Psalms portion of my devotions, but also for taking the time to talk with us today and share with us a little bit more about why the Psalms are so important to the believer today.
It's just a delight to do so, Adam. Thank you very much indeed.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.